Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Welcome to your Wednesday, September 24th edition of the J&J Show. So Wednesday feels like a Tuesday to me. Just getting on back and getting the old pedals rolling again. The old man's rolling on right back into his bag. There's a matchup this weekend, John and I are very much looking forward to, I think. We will talk about that. It's a big college football weekend. Got Bama, Georgia, got Memphis, Florida Atlantic. Can I include that in the big games this week? It's always big when you're undefeated.
Yeah.
Go, Tigers, go. Don't even push back this early. This is my monologue, John.
Okay, my bad.
You know how this goes. I'm joined, of course. You already heard him. By John Martin. He is a both local and national multimedia talent. Works for a lot of places. We don't have enough time to list them all.
It's true.
We're very proud of him as he continues to rise in this media game and do things we've never seen. On the other side of the glass is Brad Carson. He's the boss around here, program director, number one in the country. That's a ranking, and it's real, by Barrett Media. Isn't that correct? Folks that question that, let's just want to back that up, okay? He's also number one in your hearts. He's the executive producer for us. He's on the ones and twos. Brad, give yourself a round of applause.
I miss the gas, John. I miss
back,
we were like, why is it not the same? We didn't get that gassed up before.
Yeah, to get
zero
you going.
Zero gas.
Now it's back. And I hope you guys are lifted.
The talent behind the microphone himself, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm Jason Smith. I'm a Bears fan.
Let's do our gas for him, John.
That's
how
right.
do we reverse course here?
Oh, no. No need for gas for me. I'm already floating, if you can't tell. Here's some gas. Ryan Silverfield.
Oh.
He's gassing up the program. There's no doubt.
Hot candidate for jobs now.
He has shut me up. For now.
For now.
Keep
for
winning.
Now.
Week to week. Keep winning.
And I'm rooting for him.
Yeah.
Not rooting against. We are rooting for an undefeated Memphis season.
Yes.
And for Ryan Silverfield to be on every coaching list in America. Because that's good for the program.
Yeah.
And so it's an exciting time around here on J&J, isn't it, John?
It is. It is a very exciting time. It's good to be here on a Wednesday. We're going to do cap or no cap in just a moment. Norton Hurd IV will join us at 11:25. We'll talk to him about all the goings on in Memphis, as always. And then at 1:25, Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian will join us. Got Grizz Media Day on Monday. We will be there. Not Jason and John, but 92.9 will be there on Monday. Who are we sending out there?
Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn will be there from the Gabe Kuhn Show. So he will be there on Media Day on Monday. So definitely keep it locked for that. We'll talk to Drew Hill at 1:25 in advance of that. So that is the show today. But we got a lot to touch on, man. We got a lot to get to. Let's do a little thing we call cap or no cap. All right. This week right here, this one, is Jason and John hate week.
Well, how can it be hate week when we've shared so much love here?
We have shared love
a lot.
At times. Well, the opposite of hate.
I've been calling you brother and everything.
The opposite of hate is not love, though.
It's not?
Mm-mm.
What is it?
The opposite of love is indifference.
Well, what's the opposite of hate?
I don't know.
You can't do that and not have the answer. It's love, hate, bro. Hate, love.
I'm sorry.
You're trying to be smart.
I thought that was a good Martin Luther King.
The whole indifference thing. I get it. But come on.
I think that's
one or the other. So we're going to turn to hate already. Why would we do that?
Well, let's be honest. It's rivalry week at the very least.
Well, I've noticed that. And it looks like it's rivalry week in a couple places for us.
That's what I'm saying.
Both in real life and in fantasy life. Brad, by the way, thank you for laying down this past week. You were the number one team in the league, and you've handed that off to your boy. I don't know if that was out of –
You are number one in the league.
With what I was going through, Dad and everything else, very kind of you.
There was no charity there.
There's one 3-0 team in this league. He started off 12th, ranked 12th after draft day. They laughed at us. They said, ha, ha, ha. He brought in his kid, and he had a bad draft. We're number one. Appreciate that
win. Shout out to Jason Smith.
And back to it. I've actually got John in fantasy, and then I've got him in real life, Bears-Raiders. This was a game we once hoped to be at.
It was. And then, you know, obviously life happened, and I also do want to, you know, because I will be in the National Civil Rights Museum on October the 3rd, obviously, and I would feel wrong about that had I attributed a quote to Martin Luther King that he did not say.
Okay.
You know, he did not say the thing about the indifference.
I was trying to place where that came from.
Where did that come from, John?
You tried to put it on the King.
Yeah, it was
Martin Luther the King.
Is it Elie Wiesel? Famous writer and Holocaust survivor. Yeah. He had
someone you clearly read quite a bit of.
Yeah, I just conflated the two. I apologize for that. Very different people, but still on the same mission, which is, you know, for equality and respect. You know, so I think I will have, if you want, here's what I'll do. After everything is over and we pay respects to Dad, I will post up. And I will have a list of Martin Luther King accurate quotes.
Please do. And you'll be able to find plenty of them.
Yes.
Considering where you'll be next Friday.
That's exactly right. So, again, I apologize. But, no, it's a big week for us. Unfortunately, I don't think either of us is actually invested all that much in the actual game plan on being played on the field, which is Bears Raiders.
I'm sorry?
I mean, you would probably like to get to 2-2. I don't. I don't care.
You've quit. You were 1-0. You were feeling good and looked competitive and fun. You're done now, and now I'm back
in. I'm not excited by Geno anymore. It's the love's gone. It's gone. I he looks washed to me. Now, he had 3 touchdowns. He'll put up numbers, but I don't think it will be in a competitive context. It'll be like we're going to be in garbage time and I mean, I think this game will be different.
Hard to have a healthy hatred or rivalry if you're not going to care about one of them, John.
Look, let me. There's 2 games here. We have the real one, Bears Raiders, which is a pick 'em, which I don't really care all that much about. But then there's the fantasy matchup that I do care a lot about. Now,
boy, you have flipped.
Throw
this.
The record books out when Jason and John get together in fantasy.
No, we noticed you didn't tell them your record.
It's not relevant. All right. I feel very good about we're not giving up. We're not quitting.
I'm surprised.
On this 0-3 team, because look at what we've got. I mean, we've inherited another running back one. We've got Rashee Rice he's ready. He's raring to go. You know? We got pieces, man. We got pieces. We just have to survive. We have to survive. And unfortunately, yes, you're going to be my first win of the season.
You're like your team name, FedEx Forum Lease Ain't Nothing Happening.
That is crazy. I hope it's not an omen to what's the actual real, like, my team name is FedEx Forum Lease Negotiations, and we're 0-3. We haven't won yet.
Yeah.
And I think that's...
Ain't nothing shaking.
Art really is imitating life here, because there's no traction,
nothing
to your point. Like, we keep getting the same kind of, we're negotiating in good faith. All right.
Can you imagine what a letdown loss this would be for the number one team in the league for me and CJ if we lost to you at
0-3
at this point?
This is the perfect look-ahead spot. You know, you don't take me seriously at 0-3.
No, you're right about that.
We made a quarterback change. So we've got Geno in there. But what's funny is I'm starting Geno. I'm a Raider fan. You're starting Caleb. You're a Bears fan.
It's quietly one of the top-ranked quarterbacks in fantasy.
We're playing each other in fantasy. The Bears and Raiders are playing each other. I mean, it's kind of crazy.
All aligned.
And
there won't be hate, though.
No, it's absolutely no hate.
Cap. There won't be hate.
No, if it was a Super Bowl, you know, maybe the temperature would be turned up a little bit.
Now, I'm going to explain to my son that we take the real more seriously.
Okay.
We're not like you. And I'm surprised at 0-3 that you haven't checked out when you've checked out on the 1-2 Raiders for me and Chris.
Well, we'll both be 1-3 after this weekend.
What's important is reality and beating the real Raiders and Caleb taking another step. But there will be no hate.
No, there will not be hate. It's just right.
Because
you
quit.
It's just that my team has quit, but my fantasy team is still fighting at 0-3. We feel very. We still
good
have
luck to you.
A 14. I don't need your luck. We have a 14% chance to make the playoffs.
Scott.
We're not 0%.
You know, I mean, Brad felt this too. I've got Dad behind me now up in the heavens. I mean, this is really
you
on top.
No, you cannot.
I can use that.
Less in this
what,
one.
What are you talking about? I mean, this seems like
you
a
already,
year
you
we're
already
all
won.
Line.
No, you already won last weekend. You got Bears
Dude, he,
and your fantasy team.
Again,
this is not indefinite.
Okay.
You know, you have to take some L's. I'm sorry.
All right.
I think, John, you're in for it this week.
That's
dude.
What I'm saying.
I saw it firsthand.
When things line up, you know, we're doing it for him.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
there's a lot.
There's a lot going on yeah. this side of the table. That's probably why I'm part of why I'm 3-0. To have knocked off Brad.
Look,
Tigers winning.
No, it's talent.
Miracle
too.
Fumbles.
It's Bear, talent.
Caleb Williams playing his best game. Dad is in heaven.
He is in
and
heaven.
He's
that
pushing
is cap.
The,
well,
he's
that,
pushing,
that's true.
He's pushing. Hold on. Did you, we have to stop the show because I think you just said that my father,
no.
God rest his soul, is not in
no.
heaven.
No,
that
it's,
would,
it's
that,
cap.
That's cap.
It's talent, too, though,
okay.
Jason.
All right. I was like, what? Hold
no,
on.
No, yeah. the fact that it's Got talent. It. It's talent.
Guys, it's all lining up.
It is lining up.
Don't go against me right now.
It is lining up.
It's probably be bad news for you.
Yeah.
Brad felt it. John's going
to
feel it
no,
this
but
way.
I look, let me just say this. I do think that there is a time limit to the, you know, someone you love dearly passes. I think you got the two wins this past weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
Tigers,
I think I think now it's like a new, slate. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you can depend on it. The power
it's
in the same
eternal.
Way.
It's eternal. It's eternal.
In your steps, it's eternal. In your steps. But in terms of your wins and losses in fantasy, I think, again, that does have to.
No, he's like Swayze up there for me in Ghost. He's pushing the easy button for me.
I mean, you do deserve to win the fantasy league this year. I'll say that.
Thank you.
But not every year. I can't say every year.
How many times have you won?
Once.
Yeah. Okay.
But I
yeah.
want to be like you. I want to be a two-time. That's two-time when they have to put
but
you
I've
in the Hall
I've been here
fame.
Longer, so.
Yeah, I get it.
And it's been, you know, I mean, it's been a
We've
while.
We've had a drought.
Two makes you no fluke. You know what I'm saying? Two makes you a Hall of Famer.
I won the league.
We know.
I'm
you're looking for your second.
Right? I was like who's like the most random Super Bowl champion the last, you know, 10, 15 years? Is there like a random one off the top of your head?
Well, I mean, the Bucks were random because they had Tom, but they were random.
Yeah.
You know,
that,
in
yeah,
a way.
That's me.
Yeah.
That's me. I'm the Bucks. And then I just disappeared. Hmm. You know, I had like Mahomes as a rookie that year. That was the big pickup on the waiver wire. I got Mahomes. He was like unbelievable every single week.
Big pickup this way was Benson, who you have, Trey Benson.
Yeah,
right?
I drafted him because
Connor's out for the season.
Yes, Connor always gets hurt.
Fantasy now. He looks like the biggest pickup of the week.
Well, I drafted
him. But you already had him very smartly.
Yeah,
maybe
exactly.
This will pay off for you now.
That's why we're not giving up. We're not giving up on the season, man. We're 0-3, but if we can just find a way to survive and get to 3-3.
Good luck to you.
With Rashee Rice coming back.
Again, I got less sitting on my shoulder.
I'm telling you.
You do have help coming. Yeah.
I got help coming. And don't forget, Les was my black dad as well, so he is also on mine.
You think he's impartial?
Yeah, I mean, I think he really just wants the, you know, best team to win.
Cool.
So I think that's true of Bears and Raiders, and I think it's true of our fantasy matchup.
He was proud of you.
But it should be a fun weekend of football, and that'll be fun to monitor this weekend. All right, ESPN got it right on Ja and Jaren's rankings this year. Is that cap or no cap?
You have the rankings.
Yeah, so Jaren, I believe, was ranked highest
yes.
of the two at 31, jumping up
24 spots, I think.
24 different spots does Jaren Jackson Jr. Bump up. And then Ja is at 33.
A drop for him, I believe. 13
yes.
spots. Was he 20 last year?
He was 20 last year, so a 13-spot drop for him. And, again, a 24-spot jump for Jaren. I will say this, just as a, you know, just so people know what kind of we're dealing with here, Joel Embiid is 47th. I mean, so
availability.
Yeah. I mean, I think the fact that like Joel Embiid being behind or, you know, behind Ja Morant is kind of nuts to me. Like I get it. It's the same. It's like you said, it's availability, but it's like he dropped 40 spots. Joel Embiid did. And so I'm not sure if that's accurate, but I think, yeah, I think if you just pulled me to the side and said what, like Ja Morant, good, bad, ugly, availability problems, everything else, what number player is he? What top what? And I would probably say like top 30. I see he's a top 30 player in the NBA and they got him at 33. So, I mean, we can nitpick that. We could say he should be 25. He should be whatever. But I would say, yeah, I would say he's a top 30 player. I think would I say Jaren is a top 30 player in the NBA? Ugh, I don't know, man. I don't know if I would say that. I think they're shooting kind of high on him. And the reason why I say that is just because his playoff numbers are so bad. You know, the best players, the top 30 players in the NBA, and that's why I would make a case for Ja. Like, they elevate in the playoffs. They rise in the playoffs. And Jaren's playoff numbers are always bad. Like, he got bodied by Caruso. He doesn't shoot the ball well in the playoffs. Like, until he does that, I would say he needs to probably be lower than what he actually is in this one.
Yeah. No, I mean, I like seeing Jaren that high. I'm kind of with you. He got a huge jump, 24 spots, because he had a career year offensively.
Right.
But they point out, Pelton points out in the rankings that Jaren's defensive impact has been lessened recently, and his block rate was less than half of what it was. This is last year, less than half of what it was in 2022-23.
Yep.
He's got to get that back. Now, part of that is your roster, right? Jaren being allowed to roam, having the big guy in there, the Steven Adams, it's now Zach Edey, that's out there, you know, consistently,
yep,
to allow Jaren to be that guy. That's been part of it,
yep,
in terms of the drop-off defensively. But again, 24 spots for the offensive figure. Yes, that was great to see. John, you're right. It shut down in the playoffs.
Yep.
You didn't see it.
Yep.
So to have him up there at 31 feels a little high. I'll take it all day long. They had Bang at 39. Did you you got any problems with that?
No.
I know he's gone now, but
I mean, I think it's probably a little high.
It's a jump for him from 60, so a 21-spot jump for Desmond Bane. Do you think he had a 21-spot jump season?
Yeah.
And he was there.
I think something's being priced in that has not happened yet with him. Like, I think people are pricing in that he's going to go to Orlando and, like, really live
and be
them.
The final piece.
Yeah. Yes,
that they need to.
And,
like, rise.
We'll see. I mean, The skepticism I have is, like, okay, you switch out KCP for Desmond Bane. Desmond Bane is a better shooter than KCP. But KCP had trouble getting looks. That was the problem, right? The problem was that before he came to Orlando, he was a 42-43% three-point shooter, which is not that different than Bane.
Yeah.
And the difference is because what's the difference between playing with the Denver Nuggets and the Orlando Magic? Everything.
Mm-hmm.
You have Jamal Murray. You have Jokic. Everything is – you have Porter Jr. back then. Everything is opened up. So, you can't really pack the paint. You have to, you know, keep defenses honest. As opposed to this Orlando Magic team that still only has one shooter. It's just Desmond Bane instead of KCP.
Right.
How much is going to be different about this? I mean, I think that would be my question. It's like, yeah, you might be a better percentage shooting three team, but is it going to fundamentally change – you know, who you are?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think it does, because teams are going to defend the Magic the same way.
It's going to be interesting to see.
They're going to pack the paint, double, you know, inside with Paolo, and, you know, I just don't think it's going to look any different. They're not going to play faster. They're not, you know, so.
I think Ja plays, just to go back to Ja real quick for me, if he plays 65 games, he's top 20. The reason you're not is because of the availability. If he's out there like we hope for, you know, you're talking about a guy that's averaged 51 games a year for his career. Has only been over that 65-game threshold one time in his career, as it was his rookie season. It's that. When he's out there, and he's out there for, you know, the majority of the time, he is a top 20 player in this league.
Yes.
The issue for him, and it's what we're all watching, is staying out there. How Isolo sort of goes about trying to make that happen. Is it fewer minutes like we saw last season? It'll be one of the storylines of this year.
Absolutely.
Can you take him off the floor? Hopefully what you've done at guard helps you bolster that.
But I think they got it mostly right would be my –
Yeah, I'd go there mostly right.
All right, Brad will be happy this weekend as the Tennessee Volunteers saunter into Starkville for a Saturday night matchup.
Real quick, and I'm sorry I didn't mention this among the big college football games when in my monologue, because it certainly is here locally for a lot of folks here in Memphis. Is he going to be happy? I'm going to say that's cap. He's not going to be happy.
Brady's putting that on you.
Bro, Aguilar is
hooping.
He is hooping.
He has been an upgrade in every way.
Tennessee looks
at
great.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
Man, I like it. Brad, be classy.
Yeah.
This is how.
No, I predict Tennessee.
They should have beat Georgia.
And they will blast Mississippi State. I saw it firsthand.
They should have beaten Georgia. They will blast Mississippi State. You are absolutely right, Brad.
It won't be close. It won't be close.
I don't think so.
No.
Yeah, I agree.
What's the number?
7.5.
Okay.
Oh, they will cover that.
They will cover it?
Yeah, they will take that number and collaborate.
You got your fun with Arizona State. That was your fun.
It's tough.
I don't think Arizona State's all that.
Well, they're not.
I think Mississippi State.
They were ranked, right, when they came in.
I would say this.
That's your fun. No fun here.
They struggled to move the ball on a MAC team for three quarters.
But it was a look ahead. It was a look ahead for Tennessee. And it was at home. And it was against a team they know they could beat, right? So I don't think they were ever going to give you their best there. I would say, the sharpest college football bettor I know told me over the weekend that Mississippi State was one of the two biggest teams he's upgraded from since the beginning of the season. Just because of beating Arizona State.
But that wasn't – like, what is Arizona State?
Well, at that time, they were top 12.
I know. That's why I say they've had their fun. But I'm saying, what is that team this year? It's certainly not last
year. Also took a miracle to beat them. Let's be real about it.
They still won.
It was miraculous.
They were underdogs.
Who was the other one he upgraded? I'm curious. He said two, Mississippi State and somebody else.
I think it might have been
very interesting.
Missouri. But I got to go back and check.
I'm assuming he likes Mississippi State. Here in this spot,
I don't know if he likes him
7.5.
I don't know if he likes him in this game specifically.
Am I too square?
He said New Mexico and Mississippi State. So it was New Mexico in the group of five, and then Mississippi State in the Power Four. And his biggest downgrade was Clemson and Virginia Tech.
And I love State. I just don't think they're that great.
No South Florida in there.
No South Florida in there. No.
Again, Florida. That Florida team they beat. I know Napier's going to get fired. They have a defense, bro. That defense is real with Florida. And so to have beaten them again, what South Florida has done is super impressive still. Even, some of these guys haven't gone on, not been so impressive.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Florida.
I mean, I think they could cover the number, but I don't think they win. No, I don't think I would bet them to win the game. I think they've already kind of overachieved in some ways just beating that Arizona. I mean, they were 6.5-point dogs in that game.
That's true.
I mean, so to have won, what are you, 3-0?
4.
You're 4-0?
Yeah.
So I believe you've already gone over your win total for the season then.
I think that's true.
I think their own win total was only 3.5. So you've already done it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty nuts. It might have been 4.5, but I think it was 3.5. I'm pretty sure because I remember a guy talking about it. And I just remember, we came on here and I said, there's no way Mississippi State is winning 4 games. Like, okay, we'll give you Alcorn State. We'll give you this pass.
You might hit Southern Miss.
No, it was 4. It had to be 4.5 then. That's what it was. So they're 4. They're almost there. They're 80% of the way there. I don't think they get to 5.
No, I'm still stunned. Don't get me wrong. Don't let this think that I'm not stunned, but they are not that great.
Well, I mean, they got that quarterback healthy. And I mean, again,
shaping,
the goal is not necessarily to be great. I don't think that was ever on the table for Mississippi State this year.
No.
But I would already say they're better than I expected. I mean, they are. Because I expected very little.
I think it'd be clear for Mississippi State fans. It'd be nice to pluck off Arkansas, right?
Dude, you could win at Florida and you can win at Arkansas,
and so you get bowl eligible. That would be shocking.
I would have never predicted that before
never.
The season. Now, part of that is because those teams are very much slipping. You know,
mm-hmm. Yes,
Lagway's in a boot right now, and you know they say
Florida
he'll be ready.
Offensively is trash.
Arkansas, by the time you get there, may not even have Pittman in as the head coach.
Yep.
You know, you just don't know.
I would be happiest as a State fan if they can win the Egg Bowl against a ranked Ole Miss team at home at the end of the year. I wouldn't even care about the rest.
Yeah.
Like, that would be an accomplishment. That would be something.
Yeah. I don't think you'll be happy, but I think it'll be a fight. It'll be a feisty game. And then finally, Kalen DeBoer will save his reputation with Crimson Tide fans this weekend by winning on the road at Georgia.
I think that's cap. Tennessee, as I said, should have beaten Georgia. And you look at that game and you say, well, wow, maybe that Georgia team isn't special because it should have lost in regulation. It's the kind of game where they, keep in mind, they lost to Bama last year. It's the kind of game where they come in, probably plow you. And say, us knocking off Tennessee was real because we found a way to win. We're a national title contender this year. You do that. Give me Georgia all day. DeBoer, 2 years in a row, you gonna knock off Kirby? I'm trying to envision it, and you can hear me stutter. I can't see it. Can't see it.
No, it's interesting.
But Georgia's beatable. That's clear. And Alabama's played better the last 2 weeks, but they played better against nobodies.
Yeah, I think the Alabama thing is really interesting because, that first week of the season, we're like, man, what an embarrassment.
They got pushed around,
yes.
And I said, you're not gonna be able to play in the SEC, And
but,
so that could still be the thing because you haven't played anybody.
Florida State way better than we thought.
They're good.
You know, like they were not ranked when they played, and now they're a top 10 team.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's part, and you play there. So if we knew that if Florida State came into that game ranked eighth where they are right now, and the same exact result happened, I think we would have a different view of Alabama. We'd say, yeah, you know, they went to it's not the same Bama as Nick Saban, obviously, but it's not by any stretch of the imagination embarrassing. You got pushed around on the road by a good Florida State team. That's going to happen.
That's a fact.
With all that being said, going road to Georgia and doing that at Georgia? Nah, bro. Nah.
I mean, Kirby's just not letting you do that. I don't think Georgia
is
either.
No, and he wants it, you know?
They could get out-physicaled again.
They probably
will. By this
Georgia
team and get exposed again in that way.
Because they haven't really done anything since. I mean, they beat up on a bad Wisconsin team. You know?
Was it UL or something? The other one?
I mean,
nobody.
So that was always going to be the case. Yeah. They haven't really done anything to make us think it would be any different. I haven't bet it. I have no college football bets this weekend. None.
Well, college football been beating you up.
I mean, it's been very, very, very nasty.
You need to be careful.
Very, very nasty. Mm-hmm. Not nice.
You can stick to NFL. It's what you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if I know it, but I'm winning, so I'm going to keep betting it.
So you know it because you had a good weekend.
I'm a big believer in, like, momentum, right? Like, when you're losing in something, you're going to keep losing. When you're winning in something, you're going to keep winning. So I'm going to continue to try to win where I'm winning and lose where I'm going to keep my losses. I'm going to cut those in college football. If something speaks to me, if it jumps out from the heavens and it sings to me like a choir, like a chorus.
Well, Georgia's singing to me.
I will bet it. But, LSU, Ole Miss, you know, do I want anything part of that? Not really. Lane Kiffin told me to take the over. I mean, do I have to bet the over because the head coach told me to take it? That man literally tweeted, take the over. That's insane.
Was that because of his daughter who is pictured with an LSU player?
She got, yes. Are they boyfriend, girlfriend?
Apparently so. And they have, what do they call it, a hard launch?
A hard launch. That's what happens now.
But she goes to Ole Miss.
Yeah.
She's got an LSU boyfriend.
On the football team. That's interesting.
Yeah. But again, you know, I who am I to not listen to the head coach at the Ole Miss Rebels?
Tell me to take the over.
I have to take the over.
Dude, I must say, when he goes over there and throws that alley-oop to them so they can dunk it, like he takes the – and it's like, don't waste my time now. You better get this right. And they hit it.
That's right.
Man, it's one of the coolest things in college football.
I love Lane, bro.
It's cool.
I mean, he is so smooth with this stuff. I got to hand it to him. And I was shaky on them after Arkansas, but they pounded Tulane last week.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Lane Kiffin has been so good at Ole Miss, man.
I thought Arkansas was too close, but yeah, dude, he is. They should never want him to leave. That is their coach, and they should want to keep him forever. And if you're Lane, why go somewhere where the pressure is going to get turned up on
That's
you?
That's exactly right. That is exactly.
You know, he's got it made there.
That's perfect.
Anyway, we'll talk to Norton Hurd IV when we get back. We'll talk to him about all things going on in Memphis basketball and more. Stick around, Jason and John. How do you try to?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN.
Coach Norton Hurd IV is the Team Thad Program Director and Coach. He's Civil Wave Media's top 100 most influential people in men's college basketball. Has made that list multiple times now. Mitchell High Product and Walker Homes Finest. You can follow him on X at Dream Big Hurd and on IG at I Am Coach Hurd. He joins us now like he does every Wednesday. Coach Hurd, let me ask you something, man, because I like the way that John phrased it and I want to see what you think. Did Bruce Pearl strong arm Auburn into hiring his son? Hello.
Well, hope everyone is doing well today, you, John, and Brad. I can't take for granted your introduction anymore, Jason, because John had kind of butchered it so much last week that I'm really back.
Something about that. I'm happy to hear that, even though he's my brother.
It's so rewarding. Yeah. Sometimes you can take things for granted, right? Like air heats refrigerator until it go out, right? And you realize, you know, the things that matters. But with that strong arm, I think even at Houston right now, like when I visited them a couple months ago with Sampson, they're kind of setting it up for his son to be the next guy too or whatever. I don't know if y'all heard about that.
That's in the contract.
John will tell you that that's a different deal, though, because it's in the contract. Like I said, similar because it's going to go to son, but as John pointed out
yesterday, Houston agreed to it.
Houston has already agreed to it. It's in the contract.
Okay. So you know what's good about this show? I didn't even know that, and probably other people have brought this up. I'm just saying it right off the dome, right, just from a sports guy. Strong arm. I think they would have let Bruce Pearl help anyway, picking the next coach. They'd have had the most success out of anybody. I don't know. I mean, I'm confused with it, guys. I can't sit here and lie. I'm a Bruce Pearl dude, right? I think he got a lot left in the tank too, right? And so, he's 65, I think, which is not as crazy in college basketball. It's people who just stay there forever, right? I would say more so he sacrificed for his son, because I still think Bruce Pearl was just a Final Four last year, was just coming back with a top, 5 or 10 recruiting class, still have greatness in him. So to step down, I think, a few years earlier than he should have, just to make sure his son is taking care of it, I look at more of a sacrifice for his son.
Well, we know you love Bruce, and you've made that clear. let me throw it at you this way. And again, this was John educating me yesterday. So I'm sorry. I mean, I feel like he probably should be pointing this out. But when the timing of it, Coach, like doing it this late, right before the season, if you were going to step down, you could have done it in the spring and given Auburn a chance, a program that's now, you know, yes, Bruce got it there, but a program that would have had a chance to go out and throw a net out. And, yeah, sure, you consider Stephen Pearl, but you also consider some others. You got a chance to pluck maybe a sitting head coach. Rather than you doing it right before the season, there's also the fact that you give those kids the chance to transfer out. Rather than you do it right before the season, you know, and everybody's looking around. Well, there's nowhere to go right now for the players when they should be given a chance, right? What about this coaching change for them? Are they okay with that, with Stephen Pearl being the head coach? You waited so late. And so I think that's why John, I thought, made such a good case that, sure, what Bruce did for his son, that's okay. A dad helping son, yeah, there's some sacrifice in that, I guess. But my point being that him waiting so late didn't give Auburn any choice.
First of all, John, I'm here today, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
He's here. I've just taken his thoughts and I've made them mine.
No, I mean, you set the tone. You come on here. You make me feel bad about my job and career. You know, I'm just kind of just listening. I'm taking it all in. But I will say though,
did I miss anything? Because you made the case, and I thought it was a good one.
No, I mean, this did not strike Bruce Pearl on September the 22nd. It's not like this guy went through the entire process of fielding a roster, doing the NIL thing, going through all that, just to decide on September 23rd, I don't feel like doing this anymore. We all know what this was. He wanted to make sure that his son had the best crack at getting a real job, a head job. His son was selling his x-rays, you know, 6 years ago. I mean, he was driving around Memphis selling x-rays and MRI imaging, and now he's the head coach of Auburn. So it is what it is. It happens, and when you have an influential father like Bruce Pearl, like, you should probably expect that to happen. But this was brute force. This was done in September, so Auburn had no choice. They couldn't. What are they going to do? What are their options? They have no options. They're not going to be able to go hire somebody from another job at this point in the season, and I think it's BS for the players who are also stuck. Yeah, they can transfer, but you know as well as I do that NIL money got spent.
You know what? You know what's crazy? I'm just realizing what happened. Hold on. I'm sorry, guys. John makes sense now. Guess what I've been thinking all along, y'all, because I've been dealing with stuff a couple of days. I'm thinking whoa, that he's retiring after the year and they have already named his son the head coach. No, his son is currently the head coach right
now.
That's why they were saying it's a 30-day window for everybody to transfer.
Yes, 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 because it was done right now. Yes.
Right postseason.
This is how real 92.9 is. I'm telling people on the air that I am one of the better sports people. I don't mind sharing my flaws. That at this point, people even look at me for take. That I literally, that's why I hadn't got so crazy about it.
Right.
Like, I'm like,
right.
Well, because I'm like, Coach K even did in the middle of the year and said that they wanted Shire. And then even Nick Saban kind of did it to me late in the year, and they still was able to find a coach.
It changes. If they wanted to do it that way, where Bruce says, I'm going to do one more year, and then we're going to give this to Steven after the year, and it's going to be his program, it would still be nepotism, but it would be like, okay, everybody's on the same page with this. They want Steven Pearl to be the guy. They believe in him, whatever. They don't even get to have a say right now. They're like, we're sitting here with our pants down. It's September 23rd, bro. We got exhibitions in a month. We don't have a choice.
Well, the only thing I would agree with what I said that I can add to this still is I would still say he sacrificed because this is what he did, and this is why I think they also agreed. I think Bruce Pearl will still be heavily involved in it this year and even moving forward because I just looked online, and that's making sense. He doing some business or podcast with one of the star players they got going. He got some other, you feel what I mean? So I think he's still, I'm even sadder about that. Now I'm going to have to call him today. Bruce is gone, right? I didn't, now somebody else can move up the coach's tree because we just lost the top three coach in college basketball. So whoever was 27 can move up to 26 and keep going up from that way. But I see how you're looking at it now, John. I really do. But I will say this, though. No disrespect, but I don't look at Auburn basketball as I do in history as a Memphis or Duke or Kentucky, right?
It's not. And I'm not saying that they would necessarily, you know, be able to get whoever they want. But, dog, they would be able to get a coach who's got more credentials than Steven Pearl.
See, but my point I was finna make, you're right on that, John. And I will say this, with the new SEC money, they will be able to get a better coach than in the past because the SEC and Big Ten have an advantage.
That's right.
The point I was making, John, is no matter if he retired now or at the end of the year, Auburn owed it to Bruce Pearl Sr. Well, I don't know, my bad, they ain't got the same name, but they owed it to Bruce Pearl for if he wanted his son to be next, or if he wanted to pick another candidate, just like Kay was able to pick Shire or whatever, they owe it to him because it ain't, like I say, Kentucky or this even Duke, whatever. Like, he did the best job ever in the history with Charles Barkley and everybody say, and they owe it to him. So however it is, go. If he wanted his son to have, you know, 2-3 years to prove himself, and we know then is it right or wrong, then I think it's deserved. And what he was doing 6 years ago with selling x-rays, whatever that was still a stunt. He didn't have to do that. He just wanted to prove to people that he wanted to work, okay? So I don't want to put that in it. Like, you know, like, oh, he was just scuffling. No, he has had a great life his whole life, okay? Which is good. And that's my boy. I messed with Lil Pearl through this before. Like, and he's a hard worker. And one thing I can say about him and Houston coach, assistant coach is, we don't know what they're going to be as a head coach, but they've been under their father so long. These are well-experienced guys, whether it's nepotism or we feel like they still work their butts off every day. Maybe they didn't get in the door originally, but, like, these guys are some workers. Like, I was just at Houston. I'm at Auburn practice. Like, it ain't like they just sitting around waiting for dad to leave. They working. And it's easy, but it's hard because they daddies get on them just like the other coaches. You feel what I'm saying? And so, like, They put in work. So whether he's a leader amongst young men and he's a head coach, that is to be said or shown.
I like that you called him Lil Pearl. I feel like that's the way the players are going to look at him. You know, because he's the little. I mean, there's Big Bruce and there's Lil Pearl. There's Bruce and there's Lil Pearl. And
no.
Let me frame it instead of trying to make fun here. Bruce, we talked about this yesterday, has an intensity about him. You know this better than anybody. You've watched him coach your guy. Has an intensity about him that is able to draw the best out of his guys. And have you seen Steven? Has the industry been talking about him? I mean, just because he's got the same genes doesn't mean you're going to be able to be in there and go be dead and be able to draw that same thing, command that same respect out of those guys. You're going to have to prove it. And so I'd ask you, I mean, have you heard the industry? Oh, man, Steven Jones going to be the next week when he coaches. I'm just curious on your opinion of that and how tough this will be for him. It's a job in the SEC, toughest basketball conference there is in college basketball. And he's unproven, so I'm just curious. Do you think it'll transfer over? He'll command that respect right off top.
So, John, great question. Let me also say why
it's Jason, but
Jason,
we're not.
My bad. You've been translating a lot of his
today.
Stuff. To, you've been
You're
translating
right.
a lot of
too.
His stuff this morning, and you've been like his, I guess,
mouthpiece. Could,
yeah. But sometimes John is one of the most young. Smartest guys I know understand the business. But sometimes when you translate his stuff, it's like he put his stuff into ChatGPT. It comes out a little better. So I ain't going to lie. So it all works hand in hand. But the reason I said Luke Pearl is because from my flaws or whatever, is because sometimes unlike you, Jason, John, Brad, I like the people to know I'm real and I have brain frogs. Like, Steven didn't come across my mind. You get what I'm saying? And I knew he wasn't a junior, so I only said Lil Pearl because Steven didn't come in my head. But, no, I don't think anybody is just, like, running around him like, oh, we got to face Steven Pearl. Oh, he's just a juggernaut. No, I haven't heard that before. But if you don't think you're going to face him no time soon, you don't think that's a guy that would ever leave. You get what I'm saying? Nobody would talk about this, if that makes sense. You get what I'm saying? Like, we know he's not going to ever leave for another job, right? So, in certain ways, you won't talk about him. You just say he's a good basketball. I mean, I almost like Penny Hardaway. This is what I respect about him. Penny Hardaway can go 35-0 this year, and Memphis can win the national championship. He's not leaving for another college job. So you get what I'm saying? So, people are not going to – they go give him his props. But nobody's going to write big stories saying, if you know better, he should be the next coach of North Carolina. He should be the next coach of UCLA, because that's not going to happen. He's not looking for that. You know what I mean? So Steven Pearl, no matter how good of a scouting report he ever do, people know that, you know, he's next in line and he learned from his daddy.
Yeah. No, I mean, I we'll see. I mean, we'll just see. We'll have to see how it goes. I think the beautiful thing for for Auburn is that if it doesn't go well, then they will, you know, obviously just be able to cut ties, and they will, you know, I assume the language in there has got to be friendly enough for their buyout. There's just no way they gave this guy a big buyout, because they know, I mean, they're taking a gamble on it. Just like Memphis once upon a time took a gamble on Penny. Now, again, very different situation in terms of what one meant to the other, but still, I mean, you know, gambles get made all the time. And who knows? I don't know Steven Pearl. I've never met him, never talked to him, never thought anything about him. I just feel like, you know, if he was this great coaching candidate, somebody else would have hired him. Somebody else would have, you know, his name would have been out there. And like, I had never heard his name anywhere for any kind of job except this one that his dad handed to him. So, you know, I mean, like, you know how it goes, Hurd. I mean, there's nepotism everywhere in basketball, bro. Like, If you're a player, if you're the son of a former Hooper, you get the benefit of the doubt, even though you might not be good. Like, you're still gonna get a spot. You know,
have we formed an opinion? I'm just curious for both of you guys. Both of you guys, you know, you're involved in college basketball. You cover college basketball closely. What about Kelvin's son? Is there a higher opinion of him? And we, you know, it's different. It's in the contract. It's understood. Houston's going to be ready to hand it over when Kelvin is, but. Does he have a great reputation in terms of behind the scenes? Is there a great confidence that, you know, he'll keep it, you know, at a level that's commensurate with what his dad did?
Yeah, he has a real good reputation too. But I think, like you say, there's only so much attention an assistant coach go get that you know they can't leave. You feel what I'm saying? But
yeah,
like, so the only thing y'all would get is, which y'all wouldn't do, y'all would have to go to a Houston or Auburn practice, or go a weekend on a visit and see how they do things, and y'all would have a lot more respect for both of those guys. You feel what I'm saying? But outside
right.
of that,
right.
it ain't like assistant coaches doing press conferences, you know what I'm saying, or doing their own camps and stuff, because a lot of their stuff is they don't supposed to. It's just an unspoken thing. So yeah. But he has a really good reputation too, and he was doing some different job too 10 years ago, right? That he didn't have to be doing himself, right? And so I would say, when you bringing up the gamble Memphis took on Penny, John, I think it's the same thing, though, but I have the same answer for both of them. Auburn owes it to Bruce Pearl for that gamble, and Memphis owed it to Penny for what he done for the city of basketball, and he, you know, did for that institution too, right? I mean, I don't think his three other players that ever put on that jersey was better than Penny, and I'm not even talking about from even on the court, even off the court, impact, certain things. I mean, Penny grew up in the era, like, I went around with the Finch era and the Keith Lee era, right? But Penny was the best player ever come from this city. So at that point, Arkansas had a lot of momentum, and other people, you know, Todd and certain people went. If Penny not have went to Memphis, we don't know how that would have changed the landscape of things. A guy that's top five in the country, UCLA, Kentucky, all the Blue Bloods, North Carolina, Duke, Arkansas was known for getting everybody, the coach at Georgia. You know what I mean? They were starting to get momentum in Tennessee. So with him picking them and all those things, I think that's the least they could have did was took a gamble that turns out to be pretty good.
Yeah. Herd, appreciate you as always, man. Love having you on, and we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, always interesting in college basketball, man. Appreciate you, Coach.
Yes, sir.
He is Norton Herd the Fourth. Joins us every Wednesday here on the show.
I'll use this example. I'm not doing it to beat up anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I was convinced that Saul Smith, and Tubby had other sons who went on to be coach, but that Saul Smith was eating off his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Saul Smith had a great basketball mind. Even his dad would say, you know, a savant when it came to X's and O's and things. But it didn't seem like he had the work ethic in terms of doing what was required, whether in the role he was in or, you know, eventually maybe a head coach. It's not the same.
Yep.
In terms of the motivation, the dedication, and what they're willing to do. Because there have been cases where the son's been brought along, nepotism, use whatever word, and they don't work.
Yep.
You know, that spoon that they've had in their mouth never comes out. And yep. And again, I'm not saying that to attack Saul. That was the sense we got, that he was there riding Tubby, his coattails, and had been put in all these positions, obviously had to be demoted at Minnesota, gets back in that spot, and was it deserving?
Right.
Was he earning it? Was he putting in even more work? Because, hey, everybody's going to doubt you because you're the son of Tubby. Everybody thinks he's pulling you along.
Mm-hmm.
In most of those cases, you're going to go extra hard, like you said, to prove it, right? To say that, yeah, I might have started in the shadow of my father, but I've earned this now. And that's so there are some cases, it feels like to me, where those sons aren't ready to work as hard because they've been on that gravy train a long time. They don't know how to work hard.
Yes. No,
I'm saying there are those cases out there.
Exactly.
I would classify Saul as one of those. And we'll see on Steven and on what are we calling? Are we calling him Lil Samson?
I mean,
we call him Lil Pearl.
Lil Pearl.
What's Kelvin's son's name?
Is it Kellen?
It's Kellen.
It's very similar.
Lil Kellen Samson. That's what we'll call him. We'll call him Coach.
Exactly. Anyway, good stuff there with Norton Herd the Fourth. Drew Hill's going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about the Memphis Grizzlies, Media Day on Monday, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, Detroit FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.